Christian giving. And there was a farmer in his congregation. John Wesley made his first point. He said, "Make all you can." And the farmer turned to the person sitting next to him and nodded his approval. Then came the second point of the sermon. Save all you can. And once more, the farmer turned round and again gave a nod of approval to his friend. Wesley's third point was, give all you can. And the farmer frowned and turned to his friend and said, now he's spoiled it. Now, I'm not sure what you think about preachers when they begin to talk about giving, but I hope this morning, as we consider the subject matter, that you will look beyond my words and consider what God truly has to say to each one of us through His Word. I don't preach on giving all that often, unless it happens to come up in a text that we're working through. Most of the time, as you well know if you're here regularly, I preach systematically through chunks of the Bible at a time. We take a book of the Bible and we work our way through passage after passage after passage. So if we hit difficult subjects, you can't say to me, you're preaching that just to get at me. I might be, but truth be told, we're preaching it because it's there in God's Word and it's the next bit we come to. But ever so often, I do stop and I do pick up specific subject matters. I think I have preached on giving once every 2 years in my ministry. So that probably means there's only been 5, maybe 6 times I've preached on giving in my 10 years with you. So I'm sure you'll forgive me for doing it once more. That said, I make no apology. No apology for teaching the hard things from God's Word. Giving is a hard subject matter. That's what that farmer found as he listened in to John Wesley that day. And yet Scripture teaches us that giving should be a joyful activity. And as we work our way through the text this morning, I hope to encourage your hearts, our hearts, in regard to giving from a biblical viewpoint, and that you will go away to consider how and what and why you give. This morning, we're continuing a series that we're working through, looking at our vision statement as a church. We are committed to being a people who demonstrate God's love in action in the community of Cornton, in the communities in which we live and in which we work as well. And this is outworked in 6 main areas. And we've already noted in recent weeks that we are a worshiping family and a praying people. This morning, we come to consider that we are a people who are committed to being a giving church, supporting the work of God at home and abroad. A giving church, supporting the work of God at home and abroad. Here, in this letter to the Corinthians, Paul has just reminded them in the previous chapter, if your eyes glance backwards, Paul has just reminded them of the heart of the Christian message. Christ died for our sins, and God raised him to life again. We can have, we can be forgiven of our sins. We can be restored in our relationship with God, and we can be assured of our place with him in all eternity. That's the great news. And on the back of that great news of all that God has done for us, Paul comes speaking of our giving back to God. And God has given us so much if we would just take a look round our own lives. We have life and we have breath. We have family and we have friends. We have salvation and we have eternal security. And so we should long to bring our all to God in return. Indeed, we're thankful and with grateful hearts, we want to give our all to Him, our whole life. Our time, our treasures, and our talents. And that's what Paul speaks and why Paul speaks of giving here in these verses. There are some practical principles for us in regard to giving. But first, let's deal with the purpose and with the participants. Firstly, we see the purpose of giving. Why is it that churches take up an offering every week? Well, Paul tells us in his opening verse of chapter 16. He says, now about the collection for God's people. Let me go on a wee tangent, actually. I don't like that word, collection. I've been round all the translations of the Bible, and you know they all say collection as well. But I don't like the word collection. Collection to me is one of those things where you scrape your pocket to see what buttons or pennies you have that you can put towards something. A collection for me is gathering the rags up to take to the charity shop. A collection for me is gathering the dross of the day and putting it to the side. Actually, when we come to talk about giving in church, it's not a collection we have, but it's an offering that we bring. We don't just bring our scraps to God, but we offer Him our very best. And so if you've been here a long time, you've probably heard me say that before, that collection is not a great word. I don't like it. So when we bring our gifts and our offerings, you'll notice that the collection word is never used. It's always our offerings to God. So tangent and rant over. Don't use that word. Bring your offerings to God. Bring your best before Him. The purpose of giving, though, as Paul says, is for God's people. Now, I'm convinced that this is not the only purpose of this offering that they're bringing, but as you study the New Testament, you will find again and again that the primary purpose for all offerings and collections was to come back to the church. From Acts 2, they shared everything in common. They shared everything and they held it in common. In Acts 4, again, they shared everything they had and they held it in common. They were involved in looking out for one another and meeting the needs of other people. In Acts chapter 6, we find that they were distributing food to the widows among those in the church who could not support themselves. So in effect, the church gives to support itself. The church is to invest in its own life and in its own people. Now, I'm not saying for a minute, I don't think Scripture would teach for a minute either, that we have nothing to do with those outside the church, because of course we do. Jesus taught the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, that idea of looking out for others and helping them, even if they are different to us. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Galatians, Galatians 6:10, exhorts us to do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Do good to all. So the purpose of our giving is to help all. And Paul speaks specifically about helping our fellow believers. I think we see this in two main ways through Paul's teaching here and elsewhere in Scripture. The first here in this passage straight away is for the saints in need. For the saints in need. Paul is referring to an offering for the believers in Jerusalem. He's told them that he's urged the Galatian church to do the same. And then in verse 3, he talks about approving men to take the money up to Jerusalem. We know from others of Paul's letters that the believers in Jerusalem were poor and were in great need, Romans 15:26. They were experiencing tremendous persecution. They were undergoing economic struggles. There was a famine in the land during the 40s that we know of. And so this was one church helping another church, Christians helping their fellow believers, much in the same way that we do through our family of churches, through the Baptist Union. And so we give to help fellow believers at home and abroad. We support those who are struggling, the widows, those without jobs, the sick and the sorrowing, and so on. One of the purposes of giving is to help the saints who are in need. But as well as giving to the saints in need, and this is a tricky one for me to give you, but I'm going to give you it anyway. I believe Paul also teaches us in other letters that our giving is for the saints who lead. The saints who lead. Paul has spoken of the blessing of the Philippian believers. If you go to the letter of Philippians, he speaks of the aid that they have given him again and again. He said, you supported me. You gave me money. You helped me fulfill my duties as a leader, as a preacher of the gospel. Paul spoke earlier in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9 about the rights of an apostle to be looked after. He speaks in 1 Timothy chapter 5 of those leaders who lead well being duly rewarded for their labors. Now, this is not a personal plea from me. for you to give more money to support me. That's not what this is about. And actually, I am truly blessed by the giving of the church, by the way that the church looks after me and us as a family beyond that which they need to. And you bless us in that way. But there's a principle that Paul was teaching throughout his letters about giving. He gives us the purpose of our giving. He says we give to support the saints in need and to support the saints who lead. Remembering, of course, the call on all of us to do good to all, to look out for the poor in society and to help them. That's why on a communion Sunday, we have a fellowship offering, so that we have funds available to help those inside and outside the church who are in need. That's why we regularly give food to start-up, why there's a collection point outside in the atrium so you can pop in a few items of food every week to help those outside who are in need. The purpose of our giving is to support others, to help them when they need it, and to support our leaders as they go about the work of preaching and proclaiming the gospel. Secondly, notice the participants in the giving, in this act of giving. Verse 2, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. Each one of you. The participants are all of us. None is excused. Paul clearly states that giving is something that every Christian should participate in, not just the wealthy. And it doesn't matter if you're young or whether you're old, whether you're rich or whether you're poor. As we shall see, the amount of giving might differ, but everyone is to participate. Jesus in the gospel spoke of the widow with her mite. She didn't have much, but what she had, she gave to the work of the Lord. Everyone within the church is involved in giving. Doesn't matter that you're getting on in years and think that you're off the hook, for others should be carrying that burden now. God still provides you with so much. And you're not off the hook if you're young either. Youth doesn't give you a get-out clause. I don't work. I'm at school. We all get pocket money. What do we do with it? We're called to give to the work of the Lord. And there's a great opportunity for parents to encourage their children to be giving from a young age. Set them an example, firstly, by giving yourself. Then teach them how to do it themselves. Have them set aside a proportion of their pocket money to offer to God. This is a fairly simple and straightforward point, so I don't want to labor it. The participants, every one of us in this room is a participant in giving to the work of the Lord. If we are to be a giving church, we're all involved. So the purpose, the participants, and now the heart of it. Let's see the principles. And there are four principles that I want to share with you this morning. A few years back, I did two sermons on 2 Corinthians chapter 8, which gave us 10 principles for giving. So you can go online later on, because the sermons are still there, and you can check them out. But I'm going easy on you this morning. There's only four principles. And I say easy. Truth be told, if we take these to heart, they might actually be a little bit hard for us, but that's okay. Let these encourage you if you already practice these principles, and let them challenge you if you need a little persuasion from God's word today. The first principle Paul gives us is that we give regularly. Verse 2, Paul says, on the first day of every week. Since Jesus' resurrection on the first day of the week, this has become the regular day for the believers to meet and to worship God as a collective group. We too gather Sunday by Sunday to sing God's praise, to give to the Lord's work, and to hear his word preached and proclaimed. The point being made here by Paul is that giving must occur regularly. It shouldn't happen just when one feels generous or when one feels particularly led to do so or is instructed to do so for some special purpose. Giving should be regular. The practice encouraged by Paul in the scriptures here is regular giving on the first day of the week. So here in this church, here in Cornton, we have envelopes which can help you get into that habit of giving every week. There's an envelope for every week of the year. So you place your money in it week by week as you go along. And even if you miss a Sunday, you can pop your money in the envelope and bring it the following week with you. This encourages us to be regular in our giving. Of course, let me go off on a tangent just once more. If you're a taxpayer, then it's always good for us to encourage you to give by gift aid. Gift aid is a wonderful scheme that the Chancellor of the Exchequer introduced a number of years back that allows us to claim back the tax on the money that you give. So if you give us £10, we can claim back £2.50 from the Chancellor of the Exchequer. So let's be grateful for government and good government sometimes. I know they have their issues, but gift aid. And if you need to think about that, Colin's your man after the service. Now, for some of us, giving weekly is difficult because we give by standing order at the start of every month. And so I want to say thank you for doing that. This is regular giving as well, and indeed it's a good practice. For years, we as a family never gave by standing order because we like to put something in the offering plate. It also helped us to set an example to our kids as they were growing up of what it was to give to the work of the church. But that's a personal choice. As our kids have grown, as our circumstances have changed, we've moved on to standing order because it's a little bit easier to do as well. But whatever way you give, the encouragement is give regularly. The first day of the week would be the obvious example. That's the day Paul encourages folks to give by. Is it the only day? Certainly not, but it's a primary day. This is a day we are to come and thoughtfully and generously give to God for the specific work of the church. On other days, needs will arise which are need dealt with, and so we can respond to those and give to those as well. Part of being God's people, part of being the church, is giving regularly each week as we worship. And of course, I'm talking about money primarily here when it comes to giving. We give more than our money. We give our talents. We use those in service and creche and explorers and navigators and kids club and youth cafe and coffee morning and making the tea on a Sunday morning and all the other ways that we give of our talents in the Lord's service. And we give our time as well as we commit to those. But we're talking about money here, primarily. Paul says, give regularly. He goes on to say, give systematically. Verse 2, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up. The Greek word for save is thesaurizo. That's where we get our English word, thesaurus. A thesaurus is a treasury of words. Here, the call is to set aside a treasury of money to be devoted to God's work. So when Paul commanded the church to put aside and to save, he called for an organized, for a planned, for a deliberate, for a thought-out manner of giving. Paul calls for us to be systematic. We're to plan it and to think it through carefully. When you encounter a pile of work in your entry on a Monday morning, what do you do with it? I doubt very much that there's any one of us sees the pile of paperwork and takes it and throws it up in the air and just grabs the first piece of paper and deals with that. And then as the paper scattered on our desk, just randomly goes and picks another piece and deals with that. I don't think very many of us are that scatterbrained and disorganized in our work life. We tend to systematically work through a pile in order. We prioritize and we work our way through, or we do it in day order, time order, and work our way through. We systematically, piece after piece after piece, work our way through logically. So organize it. Giving should be the same, thoroughly, logically planned out. Organize it, plan it, be deliberate in your giving. How different that, though, is to much church giving. When the offering is announced sometimes, I've been in churches where I see people scramble into their pockets and they're trying to see if they can find a little penny in the bottom corner, or they pull their handbags and... Ladies, you'll excuse me, I've no idea what your handbag is like, but in my experience, those handbags are dreadful things, and they're scurrying for everything, and everything's there, bar the kitchen sink, until they eventually find the money that they've got to put in. Listen, we are challenged here to think carefully about our giving. We are being challenged to prioritize our giving, to think it through regularly before coming to church. We're not simply being asked to consider our giving on a Sunday, but to think through all week our dealings with money. I don't know about you, but I was challenged years ago about my giving. And from that time, when the paycheck arrives in, the first thing I do is consider our giving systematically and take it out of the equation first. Then we move on to deal with the bills and the food and the leisure activities and the leftovers, if we have any. But sometimes we get our priorities wrong. We sort out the bills and the food and the fun things, and then we offer God what's left at the end. What a disservice to God, brothers and sisters. Even from an early time in Scripture, we read of bringing the first fruits as an offering to God. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, we read, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine." Now, we don't give to receive back. That's not what we're being encouraged to do. But there is a recognition that giving in faith will result in God always looking out for us and blessing us. God will supply all of our needs in Christ Jesus. We'll never be in want. And so systematic giving encourages us to think carefully through our giving, to give to God from the first fruits of our income. If this hasn't been a practice of yours, then maybe today it's a good time to sit down and to consider it. Paul moves on next in verse 2 to say that giving should be proportional. Give proportionately. He says, "On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income." Set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. Our giving is to be proportionate. We're all called to give. We thought of that a moment or two back. But since we don't all earn the same or have the same levels of income, so our giving cannot be the same in regard to amount. We cannot all give a flat amount. If we did, some would give all they had, and others would barely give a penny. Those who have more are required to give more. Those who have less are required to give less. We're challenged here, though, to be proportionate in our giving, to give in line with our income. And listen, God's not looking so much at the amount we give, but rather the percentage of our income that we choose to give, or better put, the sacrifice we choose to make. I like the way the great man of faith, George Mueller, put it. He said, "God judges what you give by what you keep." Ouch. Isn't that a scary thought, if we're honest? God judges what we give by what we keep. I wonder how that would work out in your life and in mine. Takes us back to the widow with her coins, doesn't it? Jesus said it's not about the amount, but about the proportion. She sacrificially gave her all to the Lord. And that's what God wants from us. He wants our all. Now, he's not expecting you to give your whole pay packet and in a Sunday. Of course, you need to look after yourself and feed your family and care for the poor and all the rest of it. But he calls for us to sacrificially give what we have, to be proportionate in our thinking. Abraham, way back in Genesis, gave a tenth of everything he had gained in battle to the Lord. Let me rewind a wee minute, actually. Proportionate giving. What is that? What is the proportion that we give? I've given you the answer before I've asked you the question. The Bible, I think, is clear on giving. We're to give joyfully what we've set aside in our hearts to give. But I've still not answered that question, have I? What do we give? What is a proportion? Well, the Bible speaks in the Old Testament of giving a tithe. And a tithe is 10% of our income. Abraham gave a tenth of all that he had, all that he gained in battle. We are told in Genesis chapter 14, he gave to the Lord. A tithe, then, is a tenth of everything we have to God. Now, in churches, we don't teach that very often these days. But it's a good practice and principle to work with in considering our giving to God. Throughout the Old Testament, we read of the people always giving a tithe to the Lord. They always gave the first 10% of their crops, of their produce, of their income to God. Fresh from battle, the first thing Abraham does is give a tenth to God joyfully in an offering. He recognized that God had given him everything, and so he wants to give something back. Now, there are many people who would claim that the New Testament doesn't teach about tithing. so we should just ignore it. We're under the new covenant. Let's forget all of that. Actually, if you know your Bible teaching in the New Testament, that's rubbish as well. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus mentions tithing, and he speaks of the Pharisees tithing but not acting justly in other matters and not loving God. And so he encourages them to act justly, to love God, to keep giving the tithes. James Montgomery Boyce speaks about this. He says, although the tithe is not mentioned in the New Testament, the giving of weekly offerings is. And more importantly, it's generally the case in the New Testament that the obligations of the Old Testament legislation are heightened rather than lessened. That is, that the law is interpreted in its fullest measure. So while we are not required to give a specific tenth of our income, it's hard to think of a normal Christian blessed with the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ doing anything less. Under reasonable circumstances, any true believer in Christ should give more than a tenth, for all we have is the Lord's. Don't want to labor that. I don't want to go more. I could talk a whole lot more about tithing. Maybe that's a sermon for another day. But give proportionately and consider giving a tithe as a starting point of your giving. Let me finish quickly with the fourth principle of giving from this passage, and it's give voluntarily. I cannot and I would not want to force you to give. It's a bit warm this morning. And I'm pulling my hanky out of my pocket, and I'm thinking of a guy on Christian TV sometimes who's one of these prosperity gospel guys, wealth and all the rest of it, and he was always brushing his forehead with his hanky because he's getting himself worked up, and he would force people into giving. Listen, I'm not into forcing anybody to give, and I don't think the Lord does either. Many preachers today try to manipulate people, to make them feel guilty and use other worldly tactics. The Apostle Paul doesn't, and we shouldn't. He says simply, on the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Paul is saying to him, listen, when I come amongst you, I'm writing this letter from afar, but when I come and visit you, I don't want you to have to take up an offering when I come. I want you to be giving regularly. I don't want you to be forced into giving. He wants them to choose to give. We are all of our giving should be voluntary. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul would speak of the Macedonian churches in 2 Corinthians 8, who were overflowing with joy, who had rich generosity, and who gave as much as they were able and even beyond what they could, and they gave because they wanted to give. In 2 Corinthians 9:9, Paul says, each should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Our giving should be voluntary, so don't feel pressurized into giving a little or giving a lot. Give what you're able to, as you desire to. The only thing I would ask that you do is that you prayerfully consider your giving. Think it through. Don't just pitch up on a Sunday and scramble in your pocket or purse for some change to pop into the offering plate. Think it through and give as God leads and as you decide cheerfully. Friends, we are committed to being a giving church, supporting the work of God at home and abroad. We see the purpose of giving and saw that all who are called to participate in giving, every one of us. We looked at the four guiding principles for our giving. Give regularly. Come ready and prepared on the first day of the week or on the first day your pay packet comes in. Give the standing order for the month. Give systematically. Our giving should be thought through and planned out. Give proportionately in keeping with your income, remembering the tithe is a minimum Scripture would encourage us with, and give voluntarily. Give because you want to give, not because you're forced into it, but because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And therein is our challenge this week, to look at our giving and to see if we follow those principles. And if you want to discuss it, if you want to debate with me what Scripture says, then I'm happy to do that as well. If you want to get some forums about regular giving, then Colin's your man. My prayer for us simply is that we would continue to be committed to being a giving people who support the work of God at home and abroad. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you for your word that always teaches us, often encourages, and often gives us a little rebuke as well, and a challenge. Lord, whenever we think of giving, we recognize there's always a challenge there, because, Lord, money is an emotive issue. Lord, we pray that you would help us to sensitively and carefully think through the message we've heard, that we wouldn't take umbrance at it, but, Lord, that we would see what you have to say to us, not just what the pastor's saying, but, Lord, that we would see what Scripture teaches and that we would respond in kind. Lord, by your Spirit, would you allow us to think through your word today, this afternoon, and these coming days? Would you allow us to review our giving? And would you help us to come always ready to give our all to you, to give of our treasures, but to give of our talents and our time as well? For, Lord, we want to offer it all to you. We thank you that you have given us so much, and our hearts are filled with praise and with thanksgiving because of all that you do for us. Help us to give back to you cheerfully, joyfully, carefully, thoughtfully planned through. So allow this word to mill around in our minds. Allow us to make its way into our heart and allow us to put into practice what we've thought through and learned this morning. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.